Today's reading is taken from Jonah. It's on page 928 of the Church Bibles. Chapter 4, beginning to read at verse 6. Then the Lord God provided a vine and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head, to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the vine. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the vine so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, "It would be better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Do you have a right to be angry about the vine?" "I do," he said. "I am angry enough to die." But the Lord said, "You've been concerned about this vine, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about that great city?" This is the word of the Lord.
Well, if you've just listened to that out of context and just come to that straight, that is the most ridiculous passage out of the Bible. So let's pray and let's hope that God will actually help us to understand something from it. Father God, we do pray that was a really odd passage from the Bible, and we pray that you'll put it into context and help us to learn something of what you want for us from it. Amen. I'm going to start talking about toddlers. There were a group of adults, parents, talking about toddlers and what their toddlers had said. One said, "My two-year-old broke down because it was dinner time, not lunchtime. My nephew had a breakdown and cried when his boot wouldn't fit on his head like a hat. My youngest got upset that the sun was setting and demanded that his father make it rise back up into the sky. My four-year-old son had a full-blown hour-long meltdown because his six-year-old sister was older than him." Now, this is the one I like. "My three-year-old had a meltdown because he wasn't in our five-year-old wedding photos. He said we didn't love him, and that's why we didn't even invite him to our wedding." They are ridiculous. Little people don't understand themselves, and they don't understand life around them. They do know what they want or expect, and they are good at having hissy fits and stompy feet. And maybe thinking about them helps us think about Jonah. Go with it. He was a prophet, albeit a rather strange one. God sent him to preach to the enormous wicked city of Nineveh. Now, we say it was a wicked city. It was so wicked that we can't even, in a family service, explain what and how wicked it was. It was utterly wicked. And he tried his hardest not to go. But God intervened, and he provided that famous fish. Jonah found himself in Nineveh, and he gave the shortest sermon that he could. In Hebrew, apparently, it was 5 words long. And it meant 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. My sermon is a bit longer. But if next week, as a result of my preaching, the whole of Elmden came to worship God and we couldn't even get inside the church, I would be amazed. Firstly amazed, but also delighted. You know, it would be really good, wouldn't it? So go on, go out there, get the people. That was the effect in Nineveh. Because of Jonah's five-word sermon, the king, the whole city turned around. They repented. They worshipped God. So wasn't Jonah amazed? No. Jonah was not happy. In fact, more than that, he was really miserable. As far as he was concerned, God was for him and his people, not those awful, wicked Ninevites. Jonah wasn't into sharing, and certainly not with those people. So he sat, and he waited for Nineveh's downfall. He watched, and he waited to see what would happen. And that's where our reading today starts. He was sitting in the sun. So God provided a nice leafy plant to grow up and shade him. That was nice. He was happy. Had a night's sleep. In the morning, God provided a worm that chewed the plant. So it withered. No shade. And God provided a scorching east wind. No shade. And scorching heat. Definitely not happy. In fact, Jonah decided it would be better to die. Talk about having a hissy fit and stompy feet. Jonah is God's prophet. God is providing all these things. All he has to do is calm down and get right with God. And God even asks him, "Is it right? Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" Now, if your boss asks a question like that, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Somehow, even if you haven't quite worked it out, you know that the answer should be no. But, like one of these toddlers, Jonah is so wrapped up in his own view of the world, things should be working the way he sees them. "It is right. I'm so angry, I wish I were dead." And God said, "You didn't look after the plant. You didn't plant it, you didn't make it grow, it just grew up and it died. You did nothing, and yet you're concerned about it. Shouldn't I be concerned more about the 120,000 people in Nineveh? People who don't know their right from their left, and their animals?" And that's it. That's the end. We don't know what happened next. It doesn't say. So we're left to think about Jonah. He did nothing for that plant, but he enjoyed its shade. So when the plant withered, what was he really concerned about? The plant or his shade? So Jonah really comes across as a rather selfish person. Whereas God comes across as a really caring person. All these wicked people of Nineveh, all they needed was to hear God's word. They had gone bad, but they heard the word, they repented, and they became good. Jonah was a prophet in that God spoke to him, but he definitely wasn't a role model. Or maybe he was. Maybe that's the point. The role model that we definitely don't want to follow. The role model of self-centered, greedy selfishness. The prophet who was sent to save people, but decided himself that he didn't want to share God with people he decided weren't worthy. And the whole point is, it wasn't his decision to make. God shows this by stepping in to direct the proceedings. And you think of the whole book of Jonah. It's a bit of a dark pantomime. Everything is the opposite of what we expect. So the prophet is sent, but he doesn't want to go. The bad sailors turned from their worship of other gods and feared the Lord. The prophet was doomed but he was saved as he remembered God in the fish. The wicked Ninevites turned from their wicked ways, they repented and became God-fearing. But the prophet went back to his own selfish ways, refusing to be glad about Nineveh and still waiting for its downfall. Everybody was the opposite of what you think they were. So what were the plant and the worm all about? So that was God's way of bringing Jonah's inner emotions into focus. Jonah didn't really care for the plant, except he cared for the way that it shaded him. He was bothered about the discomfort he was in without it. The people of Nineveh, like all people, like us, created by God in his image, of course God cares for them. He sees that they've gone wrong and he wants them back on track. Should Jonah be angry about anything? No. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. I think we used to have a thing up there that said that, but it might not be there anymore. But it's still true. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. By asking the question, God shows what is really in Jonah's heart. It's a whole lot of gunk. A lot of gunk that shows that Jonah thinks he knows how things should be better than God himself. That he knows who is worthy of God's love and it's not the Ninevites. And so by seeing that in Jonah, we can wonder about ourselves when we start thinking that there's a design flaw in the way that the world works. Who are the right sort of people? Who aren't? What gunk might we be lurking in our hearts? So before we dismiss the book of Jonah as a small book, it's only 4 chapters, you can read it quite quickly. A small book hidden in the Old Testament. And it's good. It's good for giving Sunday school teachers an exciting picture to work with. How many fish have been decorated, do you think, in the history of time? But actually, once you know the end, it's worth reading the whole book in one go so that you can see where all those little nuances fit together. But if we leap forward to the time of Jesus, as recorded by Matthew, it's in chapter 12 and it starts at verse 38, the Pharisees were having a go at Jesus, as they did. And by this point, Jesus had already done lots of miracles, and they were demanding a sign from Jesus to show who he was. And he answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And now something greater than Jonah is here." So Jonah was a pointer to Jesus. Jonah unwillingly gave the Ninevites the message, and they believed, and they repented. How much better is it for us that we have Jesus, who not only teaches about God through his miracles and his parables, but actually wants us to turn to God so much that he actually took all our wrongdoings, all our gunk, upon himself and paid for it, paid the price of going into the heart of the earth, dead, separated from his Father God for 3 days and 3 nights. And the point, the word that all this balances on is repentance. That's what the people of Nineveh did. That's what God expects of us. Our understanding that he created the world and us. And that the decisions as to who or what and whatever are not ours to make. We are his people. It is his earth, and he loves and cares for us. There isn't room in our hearts for all the other gunk. And God, when something momentous happens, will show where our priorities are. For Jonah, his priority was not for God. Helping the people of Nineveh to repentance, it wasn't his priority. His priority was his own comfort. So for us, we can ask God to help us sift through our priorities. For ours is a compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love. And even if we see the world through toddler-like eyes, he will be able to help us refocus. Let's pray. Father God, that end passage on its own, it is really strange. And it seems as though the story doesn't end. And that's because the story continues in us. And so, Lord, we ask that you work with us as we go through life in all its difficulties. Amen.